request of the convention at this point. Tomorrow night is Solidarity Night, and we had a speaker scheduled to speak from South Africa, Tulus Nisi. Tulus is a leader of the South African Teachers Union and also the president of the Teachers International Secretariat, which is teachers unions from all over the world. And he was scheduled to speak tomorrow night at 7:30. Unfortunately, Tulus cannot be here tomorrow night at 7:30. So the Executive Council met today and agreed that it's such an opportunity we don't want to miss that we've invited Tulus to say a few words to us this afternoon so that we can hear his message of hope and his struggles in South Africa and why they're part of our struggles. So I'd like you to join me in welcoming Tulus to come and say a few words to us. Brother Tulus, thank you very much. Great.
Friends and comrades, allow me to greet you on behalf of the teachers of South Africa, represented by the South African Democratic Teachers Union, with a membership of 220,000, who are also part of the 2 million Congress of the South African Trade Unions, COSATU. And let me greet you also on behalf of the more than 29 education employees affiliated to the Education International. We'd like, Mr. President, to remind the employer that as trade unionists, we have the numbers behind us when we make our demands. And of course, in the last resort, it is these members, our own members, that give us our strength, and we must never forget that as trade unionists. Let me say, what an honor and privilege it is for me to address this gathering, to share ideas and information with you, and intend for me to learn from your challenges and experiences. I want to use this time with you to reflect on the challenges we face as workers all over the world. And for this, I will draw on the outcomes of the recent Education International Fourth World Congress, which was held in Brazil in July this year. A number of crucial themes emerged from the EI World Congress, which I think are relevant for this particular convention. These include the threat of HIV/AIDS, the struggle for quality public education for all, and we might expand this to include all the public services in the face of the neoliberal economic policies. The third issue is the search for the new or for a new global order based on social justice, peace and security, and a commitment to defending human rights. And lastly, building teacher unity and worker unity and trade union organization to improve the conditions of our members. In relation to the threat of HIV/AIDS, in adopting an agent resolution on HIV/AIDS, our Congress in Brazil was telling us that we have to redouble our efforts to fight the pandemic. The data which was presented at the Bangkok Conference on AIDS was a timely reminder that there is no room for complacency. As educators and as workers, we are in the front line in fighting this pandemic. We have to provide clarity and leadership in this matter. Whilst the disease knows no color, no race, or class, or any form of status, the most infected and affected are the poor, the working class we represent as organized labor. We see our brothers and sisters, our colleagues, our comrades, our relatives, we see them perishing in front of us on a daily basis. Let us be very clear about this one. In many parts of the world, movement towards social progress is directly undermined by the threat of HIV/AIDS. Levels of production are seriously undermined by this scourge. EI can be very proud of its record on awareness and prevention campaigns. We have to take this struggle to the next level. As unions, we have to develop strategies and structures to provide care and support to sick colleagues and to our own children. We have to campaign for appropriate medical treatment and defend the rights of the colleagues and learners and children living with HIV/AIDS. We have to stand up in our own communities and speak out against prejudice and stigma. HIV/AIDS, Mr. President, must be a collective bargaining issue and must say no to the employers who are discriminating HIV-positive workers in a subtle manner. In relation to the struggle for quality public education and the services for all, we are workers and trade unionists, but we are also passionate about the education of our children and the public services of our people. The theme of our Congress in Brazil was Education for Global Progress, which aptly captured this commitment. Of course, when we talk about public education and public services generally, we're dealing with matters that are close to the hearts of all the workers and trade unions, not only those employed in the public service. The Education International has made argument for public education as a public good. We have highlighted the dangers of privatization, which would benefit only the rich and leave our societies more divided than ever. We have made the argument that education and training is an investment for the future and not a simple drain on the fiscus. At the intellectual level, we have won that argument for quality public education. But this is not enough, my comrades. Neoliberal policies continue to assault the public service. We have to campaign and mobilize behind our own objectives and the objectives which were set in Dakar for education for all. We are going to need a very strong alliance in our societies. We are going to need our learners, our students, their parents, the school government bodies, the communities that surround our schools, the broader labor movement and the progressive movement. We have to go out and explain the issues. And we have to listen to the concerns of our communities. And we have to say, the people who have to be in the forefront of the struggle for quality public education should be the workers, because it is the education of their own children. Let me bring in a little of my own experience. The internal mass democratic movement within South Africa, which undermined the apartheid minority regime in the 1980s, was based exactly on such an alliance of the trade unions, the student movement and the community organizations. We therefore need to revive that strategic vision if we have to translate our objectives for education for all into reality and the protection of the public service. No more rhetoric, Mr. President. We need more than the nice sounding resolutions. In terms of the search for a new global order, based on social justice, peace and security, and a commitment to defending human rights. When we look at the international picture, in the aftermath of the US elections, it is very difficult to be optimistic. The results appear to be an endorsement for unilateralism, militarism, and rampant imperialism. Perhaps, therefore, it is all the more important that we seriously debate the international issues. I believe, as the Education International and the broader labor movement, we are part of the global awakening of the progressive forces for social change and justice. We can take hope from the resilience of the international labor movement, which refuses to lie down in the face of corporate globalization. We take hope from the emergence of the new social movement on the ground, representing the dispossessed and the oppressed. In some instances, we can also celebrate the democratic elections of government committed to social justice, such as, of course, my own government in South Africa, which is committed to the eradication of poverty. We should not be afraid to support such government whilst remaining vigilant in defense of our own members' interests, always our first duty as unions. Perhaps I need to stress this point and share our experience. As the South African Trade Union Movement, we are part of the strategic alliance with the African National Congress to ensure that our own national democratic revolution is strengthened and is also deepened. But even a revolutionary liberation movement, such as the ANC, has been unable to resist the impact of neoliberal economic theories and policies. And unions have had to fight hard to defend their members' jobs in the face of privatization, outsourcing, downsizing, and so on. Even here, my comrades, it would be correct for this convention to mobilize the workers in the British Columbia to remove the government which is anti the poor and replace it with the pro-worker government. Comrade President, we must reject the right-wing accusation that as unions, instead of focusing on labor issues, we act as the front for other political parties. We must reject any notion of reducing us into salaries unions. We are the transformative unions with a clear social, economic, and a political agenda. The Education International World Congress tackled a number of related themes, all of which point to the beginnings of a search for a new and a more just world order. Issues of world peace and security were at the fore, and there was no doubt that the vast majority of the delegates were talking the same language. There was a common concern and understanding that unilateral military action is unacceptable, and that we have to seek alternatives rooted in the strong multilateral institutions, in respect for the international law, and in a commitment to a negotiated settlement to conflicts. There is a shared revulsion against terrorism in all its guises, whether state terrorism or that carried out by irregular forces, and a commitment to understanding and rooting out the underlying causes of terrorism. As EI, we spoke out on human rights, including the political and the labor rights, the women's rights, and the rights of the children. Trade unionists who are persecuted, learners that are abused, women educators who face gender oppression, and those who suffer discrimination of any kind, they deserve our urgent attention and solidarity. Let me just say that as South Africans, we benefited greatly from the international solidarity in the struggle against apartheid. My own experience was in helping to build the first national democratic non-racial teachers organization, SADU, in the 1980s and the 90s. In the early years, we depended on the financial support from, amongst others, the Canadian unions to keep the union going. As a result, we were able to grow to be one of the strongest unions in Africa today. The Congress. I want to emphasize, President, that we must address the real causes of war and violence in the world. Today, all conditions for war and insecurity in the world, they still exist. These are dependency on the whims of the world powers, multinationals, and markets. The debt and the structural poverty, which is now inflamed by the spread of HIV/AIDS, the resulting struggle for the resources, the existence of the undemocratic elites in many parts of the world, the fueling of the ethnic and the religious tensions. And I want to emphasize, President, we must resist the hate talk where people today refer to the Arab world and Muslim fundamentalism as a big threat to world peace, as if all Arabs are Muslims or all Muslims are Arabs. The truth is that not all Muslims are fundamentalists, and not all Muslim fundamentalists are advocating violence for political action. Little reference today is made to new forms of intolerance, like xenophobia, Christian fundamentalism against other religions. Let us all say it loud, that violence and what is called terrorism today happens when people's right to self-determination is denied through institutionalized racism, colonialism, military occupation, and exploitation of the wealth of a nation for a profit by those in power or the major corporations, and violation of the rights. And of course, the violation of the rights of the entire nation through the blockades or embargoes. Violence will happen when economic and social rights are trampled on. Violence will happen when human rights are violently repressed. And violence will continue when there's no hope for a better life. I want to say, Mr. President, as I close, whilst Congress in Brazil interrogated the education policy issues, we never lost sight of a simple fact that we represent workers. There will be no quality services unless the basic conditions of the workers are addressed. I urge you in this BC convention to also honestly evaluate your collective bargaining strategies. You must evaluate the state of the organization. All these revolutionary sounding resolutions will come to nothing if we do not address our organizational weaknesses. My little experience in a few countries, even in my own country, is that members feel that the unions have been bureaucratized. They feel no difference when they look at us as union leaders and the captains of industry. They feel alienated from our own unions. We are no more getting in touch with the membership. The issue for membership is service, service and service, nothing else. We must never lose sight of this basic role that we have as trade unions. This keeps us focused to service our workers in our unions. Servicing membership is central to any of the unions. And we must be honest about that. Thank you, Mr. President. I wish you well.